reading to you from the 18th chapter of Luke, and with the 31st verse. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, which I was the biggest surprise of my entire life. I certainly had no plans on being a preacher, and I still wanted to live in Seattle and go to my church. But God changed all that, and I'm glad that he did. It's been a struggle, but I'll tell you, friends, the thing that really, really touches my heart is when I talk to people who, over the years, we've had an opportunity to introduce to Christ, to see them living successful lives, and talk to their children who were saved, and it just does something for me. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cold lemonade, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, dear Lord, for helping me get better. And I thank you, Lord, that you opened some more doors for our prison ministries. And Father, I know that you'll supply the needs of us as we have to go. And precious Lord, we can't emphasize enough that the people who help with us will be blessed of the Lord, because they'll be a part of these men being saved. And Lord, I pray for our really listening family. Now, Lord, there are a lot of our listeners who are having serious problems. And sometimes, Lord, it takes more than a day of praying. It takes a long time of praying to get what we need, but you said you would always answer, even though there are millions of people today asking things from you. You hear them all, and that you answer them all. Sometimes it's not the way we want it, but you do answer. Now, Father, I pray that you'll minister to all of our needs tonight. Lift me up, Lord, and lift up Jesus, and hide me behind the cross, that I'll not be in the way of the gospel. Save that man or that woman on the road to hell tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Friends, tonight we have an opportunity to catch up with the Apostle Paul. I have been wanting to interview him for quite some time. Now, this is imaginary, but it could well be just exactly like we have it here tonight. Paul, my name is Cecil Moe. I'm a radio evangelist and a volunteer prison chaplain, and for years I've been studying the different books of the New Testament that you wrote, and I'm thrilled to tell you of the millions of people who have been blessed from your writings. But first of all, Paul, I want to ask you a little about your trying to destroy Christianity. Well, Cecil, that is a sad place in my life. I was very religious and very zealous person. I truly thought that Jesus and his teachings should be stamped out. I put Christians in jail. I had them beaten. In fact, Cecil, when the Jews stoned Stephen to death, I was standing there holding Stephen's coat. At that time, I really thought I was doing Almighty God a service. After I left the stoning, I could not shut out of my mind the way that Stephen died. Stephen was a real bona fide born-again Christian. Secretly, I really admired him. He stood before us and told us what we were doing that was wrong. He told us that we had crucified the Son of God. Oh, it was horrible. Then one day I picked up some orders to go pick up some Christians and put them in jail. In fact, we were on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden there appeared a great light. It was so bright I fell to my knees, and I heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I cried out, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with me stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. When I got up from the ground, I was totally blind, so they led me into Damascus, where for 3 days I was blind and I did not eat or drink anything. I'm sure, Cecil, all people do not have the same experience when they are saved. But I will assure you that if people have truly been born again, they will never forget that experience. And I'll sure amen you on that, Paul. In Damascus, there was a disciple whose name was Ananias. And so Ananias came to the house where I was staying and placed his hands on me, and I received my sight. And Ananias really didn't want any part of me because he'd heard reports of the terrible things that I was doing in the church. But the Lord told Ananias, "Go, this man is a chosen instrument to carry my name to the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name according to the scripture." And Paul, listen, I know that you literally turned the world upside down for Jesus. Well, Cecil, I'm not bragging, but I believe when a person receives a call from the Lord, he had better honor it. The one thing that I admired about you, Paul, was that you gave your testimony before the people of the street, before kings and queens. Paul, I have imitated your style. Many times in prison, I share my personal testimony, and it's very effective because those men have lived similar lives. You know, Paul, many of our seminaries discourage preachers from sharing their personal testimonies, which I believe is a horrible mistake. Another thing that I admired about your preaching and teaching was that Christ was foremost in all of it. And I try to do that, Paul. Many times I've flubbed and made mistakes, but I really tell the prisons and rescue missions and to my ready listeners that Jesus is the only way that anybody will ever get into heaven. Well, Cecil, as I look down on your church's day, we find pastors who do not give invitations after they preach. That's like a man going fishing and not putting a hook on his line. You see, Cecil, we didn't have fine churches with padded pews, huge pipe organs. We didn't go to church to eat. We went to church to be fed. We trained our laymen to do personal evangelism. Cecil, the reason that people are going from church to church is because they're starving. They're being taught how to raise money, build bigger churches, and preach less about Christ. You see, Cecil, there's no excuses why your churches are not winning the world today. You have TV, you have radio, you have satellites. we had donkey power. And we walked, and we walked as I did on my missionary trips. We took ships. Another thing that I admired about you, Paul, was when you needed money for your ministry, you made tents, sold them, took the money, and traveled to your next assignment. You know, Paul, I too had to work these past 45 years to be able to preach. I used to own a large roofing company, and I was able to go preach in Japan, Alaska, Mexico, the Caribbean, and all over America. This is a funny thing, Paul. I would receive a call to go preach a revival in Oregon or Virginia or Alabama, Texas, or wherever. I never did get my expenses paid after they took up a love offering. It always cost me to go to preach, but I never stopped me. I did it out of a call and my love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know you did too. The time that you and Silas were thrown in jail for preaching was something else. That jailer beat you guys black and blue, but you still sang praises unto the Lord and the Lord sent an earthquake and shook the doors off the prison. If you were not a Christian, I'm sure you would have took off like a herd of turtles. I just loved it when the old jailer ran in and fell on his knees and said, "Good sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I like your plain, simple answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now that is powerful preaching, and the results that was taken from that, you were able to go home with a jailer and lead his wife and family to Christ, and even baptize him at midnight. Paul, we feel that prison ministries are just where God called us to be. We see people saved every service. We see backsliders repent of their wrongdoings. What a blessing. Another thing that struck me was when in a vision you saw a man from Macedonia crying, "Come help us." And you did not go to a foreign mission board. You didn't have to go before a council. You immediately caught a ship and went to help them. Today, Paul, we are afraid to follow the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. We don't want to walk by faith. In fact, Paul, many churches today take pledges from the members so that they will know how to make out their budget for the year. Paul, I noticed the biggest problem you had with some of the churches you established was a church in Corinth. That's right, Cecil, they were a wonderful bunch. But sin entered in and they began to want to do everything. They didn't want to do anything about it, I should say. They also got puffed up and began to think that they were the most spiritual people in the world. Now, Cecil, here was the problem. We who know Christ are all members of the body of Christ. And some of the members of the church felt less gifted. They felt that they had no sense of being. They felt less gifted or insignificant. Less able or unimportant, less capable or inadequate, less worthy and ungifted. This is untrue. There is no such thing as an insignificant member of the body of Christ. And Cecil, do you recall when the church were all thinking themselves to be much more spiritual than anyone? Well, here's how I address that. First, I ask them, do all people have the same gifts? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret tongues? And the answer is no. God has not gifted all believers with the same gift. Paul, there's a preacher in our town that says if people do not speak in tongues, they will not be raptured when the rapture comes. Cecil, listen. They never got that from the Bible, so just write it off as someone who don't know beans from potatoes. Cecil, we have false prophets in our days, and you certainly have them on TV and radio and in churches. You know, Cecil, the Bible says, try the spirits to see if they were from God or man. I have had some people say, Cecil, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Or in other words, do you speak in tongues? And I'll say, yes, I received the baptism of God's Holy Spirit the day I received Christ. And they will say, that's not what I mean. Cecil, everyone who has been born again has received the Holy Spirit, or they would not be born again. Tell them to read the Bible. Paul, I know that you spoke in tongues. In fact, you said the Corinthian church that you spoke in tongues more than any of them. But you would rather speak five and intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 in a tongue. So what are you saying, Paul? Is that tongues have a place, but to prophesy is far greater? That's true. But Cecil, just remember, there will always be professing Christians who think that they are more spirits than others. Mark it, Cecil. Pride cometh before a fall. It seems like Paul, the more spiritual that they think they are the ones who does the less, and they spend all their time checking others' spirituality. Paul, you've seen the great work that D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, and Billy Graham have done over the years, but none of them spoke in tongues, none of them held healing meetings. So that goes to prove everyone does not have the same gift. You know, Paul, the idea that God loved the world was a new idea. The Jews believed God loved the religious, or the true Jew, and hated the non-religious, that Gentile. That is true, Cecil, but the same thoughts are held in every generation, especially by the religious. You know, Paul, the fact that God truly loves is shocking to many. Some wonders and others question, how could God possibly love the vile person, the murderer, the immoral person, the wife beater, the child abuser, the prostitute, the thief, the alcoholic, the homosexual, the lesbian? And Paul, that is why I love the prison ministry so much more, because everyone that I mentioned are the ones that are in prison. Paul, before we say goodbye, I want to ask you about the Galatian church. What was their main problem? Well, first of all, Cecil, I and the gospel that I preached was under attack. Some false teachers who were professing Jewish Christians, they were called Judaizers, were teaching a double error. They taught that a person was saved partly by faith and partly by works, and that a person grew in Christ partly by faith and partly by his own effort. A person had to believe in Christ, yes, but he also had to undergo the main ritual of religion, which was circumcision, and they had to observe all the ceremonies and rituals of religion. Now, Cecil, I never taught that to them. I taught something different. I taught that a man was saved by Christ and Christ alone. I preached the message of God's grace. I preached that a man does not win, earn, or merit salvation. That a person, they charged that my apostleship was a false claim of my imagination. They said it was not a true minister of God. They accused me of minimizing the law of God. Hold it, Paul. We have law keepers today who are accusing us of the same lie. I introduced a man to Christ who was a drug addict who had been time in prison. And he said, come over and hug me. He said it was the happiest day of his life. About 3 months later, I got a letter from him telling me I was absolutely wrong. I worshiped the Lord on the wrong day and that I was preaching a false doctrine. You see, Paul, this man really never understood salvation. It's Christ and Christ only that we need to get into heaven. The church can't do it. The preacher can't do it. Mom and daddy can't do it. Only Jesus. As I recall, Paul, even Jesus was attacked by the law keepers for healing a person on the Sabbath and for picking corn on the Sabbath. Lawyers and law keepers were truly a thorn in the flesh for our Lord. And speaking of thorn in the flesh, I read where you had a terrible thorn in the flesh and God would not heal you. That's right, Cecil. So many believers cannot understand why God would not heal me. Well, because there is a value of application. It showed me that God's grace was sufficient for me, for his power is made perfect in weakness. Cecil, you've been going through a lot of pain and suffering this past year. Do you agree with that Lord told me his grace is sufficient? You're absolutely right, Paul. And again, Paul, that goes to show some of these self-called healers that God does allow sickness for a reason. And I know, Paul, that that we should all pray, "Thy will be done." Paul, I'm sorry that is all the time we have today. You certainly was a special person. You practiced what you preached, and you made Christ the center of your preaching. Pray I'll remain to be faithful to the Lord and never, never be a compromiser. Well, friends, I hope you gleaned something tonight from our interview with Apostle Paul. Especially, we'll have some more interviews with him in the days to come. Paul taught that we were saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that no one could boast. You know, friends, I really honestly believe when I was an alcoholic that if my good works outdid my bad works, that when I died and went up to heaven, Peter would say, "Go on in." But it don't work that way, my dear friends. You can be the most wretched sinner in the world and be saved by the Holy Spirit of God. You sure can. We have men in prison who committed heinous crimes. Yes, rape, incest, horrible crimes. And you say, "Well, surely God can't save them." Oh, but he can. Now, hey, Paul was a murderer, and he went to heaven. Oh, yes, friend, there's not a sin that God cannot forgive. And I'll tell you something else. There's not a sin that a Christian cannot commit. You say, "What?" That's right. But the Bible tells us if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all sins. Now, he was speaking to the Christian, not the lost. The lost have to recognize that they're sinners and have to ask Jesus to forgive their sin and receive him in their heart as their Lord and Savior. Friends, it's that way if you plan to go to heaven. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot go to heaven." Now, as far as Nicodemus was concerned, he wasn't a drunkard, he wasn't a whoremonger. He was a Jew, he was rich, and he was a leader of the Jews. He'd done no wrong, evidently, outside of being born a sinner. But he thought that his religion and his good works would get him there. But Jesus said, "Nick, that won't do it. You've got to come in God's way," which is being born again. Now, the Bible tells us that all of us who are alive today are born once. Born of the flesh, every one of us. But to be born again, we have to repent of our sins. We have to cry out to God to forgive us. And he takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh and writes our name in the Lamb Book of Life. And then he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Hey, listen. If you're born again tonight, and when you die, my Bible says that you're going to go to heaven. And the great books are going to be opened someday. And they're going to be judged on the things that we've done, whether they be good or evil. The bad things will be thrown in a fire. The good things will be rewarded for. Have you been winning souls, dear friend? Have you been witnessing? Now listen, friends. If the Spirit of God is knocking on your heart tonight, he wants you to open that door by faith and invite him in to come in. Do you want to do that tonight? If so, would you please bow your head and repeat this simple sinner's prayer? Kind Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I am sorry, dear Lord, for all the things I've done unto you, my loved ones and my friends. And Father, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart. And I'm inviting you in to be my Lord and my Savior. and Jesus' precious name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that simple prayer and meant it, I want you to call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. If you have a spiritual need and you feel I can help you with it, be sure and call. Listen, friends, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm concerned where you spend eternity, not where you go to church. You say, well, boy, you must be a bleeding heart liberal if you don't care where I go to church. I want the Holy Spirit of God to lead you to church. Get you a Bible. Join a church. Get baptized scripturally. Get into a Sunday school and learn what this wonderful Lord has for your life. Friend, everybody that trusts the Lord is important. All lost sinners are important to God. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.